Isaiah was a prophet who presented to his people a message of hope. I've always called Isaiah the writer of the gospel, the Old Testament gospel, because he presented the message of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, it was not simply one of those events in history, but it was the fulfillment of the message of God through Jesus Christ. God presented through his word, through the prophets, the hope of the world. He presented to them a message that would someday become reality when that message, that prophecy, was fulfilled. In the book of Isaiah the prophet, we find that the scripture states, in the King James Version of the scripture, something like this: "For unto us a child is born." I would like to read from Isaiah the 9th chapter from the Hebrew English Bible. In the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and note if you would care to follow the 6th verse in your own scripture there. I would like to read these words, and the interesting thing about Hebrew is that you read from the right to the left. So if I get a little bit confused, you excuse me. It says here, the people, I will begin, and I'm not sure of verse as such, but the people that walk, this is verse 1, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, their light shines brightly over them. Thou hast multiplied the nation, made great their joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy in harvest, as men are glad when they divide the spoil. I will go now then to the 6th verse of the scripture. For a child is born unto us, a son hath been given unto us, and the government is placed on his shoulders, and his name is called, and note, Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, of the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace, for promoting the increase of the government, and for peace without end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to support it through justice and righteousness from henceforth and unto eternity. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I would like you to note then that the scripture points out that this one who would be called the Wonderful is the promised Son of God. He is the one who would someday rule over the world. Today we sing the Noel. We hear at Christmas time, Noel, 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 born of the King of Israel. Someone has asked, well, what does that mean? Well, actually, it is nothing more than a song, a carol that proclaims the birth, because the very rootage of the word is natal, the matter of birth. There's a shout of joy at the birth of a child. And so, Noel, a shout of joy. May we simply today rejoice because Jesus Christ was born. I know that there are many individuals and many people who talk one way or another about the birth of Jesus Christ. There are religious arguments over the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, just this past week, there was a man who wrote in the paper a statement for a reporter that was published, that he was glad. He was glad that the name of Jesus was not being proclaimed as fully as it had been in the past. He thought if we should just remember it to be a joyous season. So what it gives more, but what is it that gives joy except the birth of Jesus Christ? After all, Jesus was born to be a Savior, a Redeemer, and one who would deliver His people from their troubles. He was to be called a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is to be the Anointed One, or He is the Anointed One. He is the Lord, the one appointed to rule. I would like now, if you would follow me in your scripture, I'd like to turn to the book of the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. We will not begin with the Christmas story itself, but we must go back to note the statements that were made by the angel Gabriel to the young woman whose name was Mary. And the scripture says, and I will begin with the 26th verse of Luke 1. And it says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. And so we note the beginning of Jesus Christ, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, which simply means Savior. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, that is, the holy power of God shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How wonderful it is then to note that this one who was born later, according to the account of the scripture, was that one who was ordained to be born of God. He was the result of the power of God. He was the result of the love of God. He was the result of the grace of God. Therefore, this morning, we do not simply go back in our minds to an angel choir, nor to a stable, nor to the later event, somewhat later, the arrival of the wise men, but rather we ponder the meaning of the name of Jesus Christ, of that power that has been vested in that name. For without that power, without the glory of that name, without the redemption that comes to that name, the whole purpose of the season is all in vain. We walk then by faith today, and in a greater sense, we note the matter that was stated in Isaiah 9, where he shall be called Wonderful. We stand in awe before his name because, according to Acts the 4th chapter, we find these words in verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand before you whole. Speaking about that miraculous event in the days of the early church, when in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter and John stood there and said, In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The glorious, the wonderful, the powerful name of Jesus. Notice further it says, Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we see that Jesus Savior not only was he born, but he lived, he died, he was resurrected, and his power touches hearts and lives today. But the important thing here is to note that the scripture says that this is true. It's not just another preacher telling you this. It says in verse 13 of Acts 4, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived or determined that they were unlearned and ignorant men, as someone said, they hadn't been to the University of Jerusalem. I don't know that one existed, but anyway, someone had put it that way. They didn't have any PhD, doctorates or anything back of their name. It says they marveled after noting that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. I want you to keep this in mind as we look at various aspects of the life of Jesus and then look at the time of his birth and the influence that it had upon those individuals who came to see him. We will remember, of course, that Jesus Christ was born in a lowly stable. And we would ask ourselves, well, how could such a birth have any influence upon the lives of men? But we need to remember that he was to be called the Counselor of the Everlasting Father, that he sits today in his resurrected state at the right hand of the throne of God, ever living, making intercession for us. He is today that truly the Prince of Peace. And like the song says, that goes on about different things, they hear the carol and said, there is no peace on earth. That we note this. And yet there is a peace on earth that comes through the ministry of the name of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul is the writer of this particular text, and we notice here how he uses the name in the matter of its power and its strength to touch hearts and lives. The second chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we will notice here that it says, beginning with verse 14, well, we'll go back to verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood or the death of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace. He is our peace. And then verse 15, he says he has abolished the enmity that has been there because of the law. And then to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The Prince of Peace, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who has given us hope and the one who has given us strength, the one who has given us a foundation for our lives, the one who has given us a reason to live. Ephesians, the second chapter, continuing there, we notice here that verse 19, the B part of that says that we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We're built upon that foundation, and no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, according to 2 Corinthians 2, than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the foundation of all of our hope. He is the master. He is the leader. He is the teacher. He is the one who addressed the young man who came to him and said, good master, what good thing may I do that I may inherit eternal life? And this man was given instruction by the master teacher as to how he could find hope of life everlasting. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the one appointed to redeem mankind today, but more than all else, the anointed one, the one who is coming. For even the angel later said this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He is the prophet, the one of whom Moses spoke in Deuteronomy 18 and 15. It's also referred to in Acts 3 and verse 22. A prophet like unto myself shall the Lord God raise up unto you, and unto him shall you hearken. This in Acts 3 and verse 22 is in the same connotation, in the same area, as he is speaking of the times of refreshing, according to Acts 3:19, coming forth from the presence of our Lord. So when we look at Jesus Christ, we realize that he embodies everything that is holy. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our grace. He is our love. And he is the fulfillment of all that God has spoken concerning him. He is the one who is truly, as we said earlier, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one upon whom we are dependent for the hope of life everlasting to come. The scripture states in Colossians, the second chapter and the ninth verse, and again a part of Colossians 1:27, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in this sense that he embodies the things which are of God. He is love, he is mercy, he is grace, he is peace, he is strength, he is direction, he is everything that man cannot be and could not be. Jesus Christ was not just another man. He was Son of God, and he was Son of Man, and today he is Savior. Today he is Redeemer. Today he is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming again to establish the eternal kingdom upon this earth. He is coming again to be truly the one of whom the prophet spoke. He is the one who will fulfill that message which we read at the beginning. He is the one who will bring to pass the fulfillment of the scripture, that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters now cover the sea. I will not read it this morning, but I have placed in my bulletin, your bulletin this week, as something that I would like you to read very carefully, and where it simply says, the time has come for us to recall that the Son of God was born. These are not my words. They are the words of an 83-year-old man at Springfield, Ohio, a man who I've known for many, many, many years, who has embodied in this writing his hope and the meaning of this season. And he concludes with these words, an urgent call goes forth to be ready, listening, watching, praying, that we might be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. In the book of the Gospel according to Luke, now I will read from the second chapter a portion of the story concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. Gospel according to Luke, and we will notice the second chapter. And we notice here these words concerning Jesus. And it says that she brought, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The angel message to the shepherds was this, fear not. It is a message that I would bring to you this morning as well. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then he says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. This message rings in our ears today. It will continue to ring there. It will continue to be there if we trust in God through Jesus Christ until Jesus comes again. I'd like to read in conclusion this morning this song. A striking Christmas card was once published with the title, If Christ Had Not Come. It was founded upon our Savior's words, "If I had not come." The card represented a clergyman falling asleep in his study on Christmas morning and dreaming of a world into which Jesus had never come. In his dream, he found himself looking through his home. There was nothing to remind him of Christmas. He walked to the church, but there was nothing there to remind him of Christmas. The doorbell rang and a messenger asked the preacher to visit his poor dying mother. He hastened with the weeping child, and as he reached the home, he sat down and said, "I have something here that will comfort you." He opened his Bible to look for a familiar promise, but it ended. His Bible ended with the book of Malachi, and there was no gospel and no promise of hope and salvation. He could only bow his head and weep with her in bitter despair. 2 days later, he stood beside her coffin and conducted the funeral service. There was no message of consolation, no word of glorious resurrection, only dust to dust and ashes to ashes, and one long, eternal farewell. He realized at length that he had not come and burst into tears and bitter weeping in sorrowful dream. Suddenly, he woke with a start, and a great shout of joy and of praise burst from his lips as he heard his choir singing, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." And this scripture, let us be glad and rejoice, for the thought of a scripture, let us be glad and rejoice because Christ has come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Today he stands knocking at your heart's door, asking if you, the sinner, will let him in. He is able for all time to redeem those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives, as he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." We trust that his name, the name of our lovely Lord and Savior, will touch your hearts and lives, that you might have a blessed season, a blessed Christmas, because Jesus Christ did come. God bless you all till Jesus comes again. Amen.